RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hey, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. It's time once again for Culinary CPR with yours truly, Dr. Mike, and my kitchen companion, the kitchen commando over there, Chef Luca Paris. Hey, Chef, welcome to the program. Thanks once again for providing us this incredibly delicious, and I'm really kind of excited about it because it's something that that I haven't actually made before, this glazed Faroe Island salmon with a strawberry balsamic salsa. So delicious. What inspired you to create this masterpiece?
Well, this is funny because I've talked about this for a long time, about fresh or cooked meats with salsas, and we've done everything from a mango salsa to this salsa.
Right.
You know, you could do a traditional tomato salsa. But there's something about strawberries and balsamic that I've been a big fan of my whole life, whether it was as a dessert, which still gets people shocked when I say I put balsamic on my strawberries. You get that whole yin-yang, that whole agrodolce, which is that sweet and tart. You know, you get all these great flavors, and balance is the key to all of this. And then we had a wedding, outdoor wedding, and they said I want a salmon, but I didn't want to, because I'll do pineapple salsas, I'll do this. So,
right.
But I want something else. I want something that goes over the top, that really knock it out of the park. So, you know, I was thinking about these two items and how we're going to put them together. I've done it with chicken. You know, I do this with chicken as well. But I thought the salmon would go great with the strawberry balsamic salsa, because the salmon will hold up to pretty much anything. And if you see a lot of my recipes, I love pairing it with salmon, because that fish holds on to everything. And I know we've talked about the Faroe Islands before, and the type of salmon that comes from there. It's really high quality salmon, grown well if you're doing farm raised. If you're on the West Coast and you're going to get yourself, you know, a wild salmon and the different types out there, and you're in season, please use that. But when you're out on the East Coast,
we
are, you need to, sometimes you have to reach out a little further. You find quality ingredients, and that's what you're going to have to do from the Faroe Islands.
Further, that's like halfway across the Atlantic to the Faroe Islands, which is like a little duchy of Denmark there. But and as we've spoken before, I've actually had the great opportunity to visit that place, and the people are wonderful. The food culture is wonderful, and actually see firsthand, you know, how well they do the aquaculture there. And as you point out, you know, sourcing is the key. We've got to, you know, you got to spend that couple minutes. You got to know where your food comes from. Hey, folks, you know, put as much thought into your food as you do into your cell phone. You know, that's all we're asking.
You are absolutely right. I see people spend more time on they're online trying to figure out what cell phone's going to be best for them. And maybe sometimes you should figure out what items you're putting into your food. And I love that analogy. And it'll go through when we talk about the recipe. My motto pretty much when it comes to food is think local first. So if you there's something about local ingredients that you're adding back to the community, you're sharing. There's this whole kind of process that goes around that just is good for everything. But there are some times where you can't get local. So then you go to the best thing is you find organic and put some effort and time into what you're buying, because it's going to taste better, and you know it's going to be better for you. I mean, the levels
that make it
healthier are there in organic, right, Mike?
Absolutely. And you know, the data is really accumulating and continues to accumulate. And you bring up a really good point, you know, that I think we sometimes don't emphasize enough, is that when you buy local, not only good for the economy, when you're getting the strawberries for the strawberry salsa and they're in season and produced locally, it makes economic sense for you, because since the fruit tends to, you know, ripen at about the same time, that drives the price down, because it's, you know, simply volume demand, and there's a lot more volume to be sold. So even if there is a demand, the price of those strawberries are going to drop. And one other thing that people don't really realize is most fruits, and avocados are a notable exception, but most fruits and vegetables, when we talk about produce, once you remove it from the earth, once you pick it off the tree or the bush, you know, that fruit isn't going to get sweeter. It actually doesn't ripen. It just starts to rot. And when you're getting that plastic container of strawberries from South America because you're trying to buy them in the middle of a winter, and you walk out your door and it's 6 feet of snow and you have to shovel your way and say, gosh, I'm going to have strawberries today. You know, and they taste like cardboard and you're so disappointed. Well, they had to pick them when they weren't ripe. Otherwise, they would be rotten by the time they get there. So they're often covered with, preservatives, and they don't taste good, And you get that sun-kissed, local, sweet strawberry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How delicious it is.
And it's something, and, having two kids that are in their teenage years now, growing up, whenever something came in season, I would actually go out and buy the one that's at the store. Because I don't think they realize it until you – so I'd go buy – strawberries at the store, and then I go buy them from the farmer's market or the farm stand, and I'd give them both to them because I wanted them to just put them in their mouth at the same time, not one in the winter and then one during strawberry season. I wanted them to taste them at the same time, and once you do that, you can't go back, or
right.
if you go back, you have to in the winter for some reason, but you find the best one that you can, whether it's organic or as close to where we are as possible. But it's amazing the difference. And when you utilize that in a dish like this one, it blows it away.
I love this dish. Start walking us through, because I'm getting hungry
right
now. So how are we going to put this together?
We'll talk about actually cooking the salmon or glazing the salmon. We're using salt and freshly ground pepper. I use kosher salt. You need a couple of tablespoons of olive oil, about one shallot minced, half cup of vegetable stock, homemade preferably. We could go into that another time about, making your own homemade stock.
Right.
Teaspoon of cornstarch. That's just going to give us a nice little slurry to glaze with. 3 tablespoons of strawberry jelly. Find a good organic brand. If someone locally produces it, get that local strawberry jelly because that's going to help create our strawberry glaze. And then one and a half teaspoons
or Or here's a great idea. Yeah, when you're buying the strawberries, they're in bulk at the farmer's market. What a great way to preserve that great strawberry flavor. When I get the tomatoes, when they come in and I'm buying by the bushel, because like you said, once you taste that sun-kissed garden fresh tomato, you don't want that styrofoam tasting, hard red rock that you get in a supermarket. You make some tomato jam or spaghetti sauce or tomato sauce and, all those things, and you can capture those flavors and then, preserve them for later in the season. So jellies, jams, etc., great way to preserve that great fruit flavor. And again, very economical when you're buying it in season.
Yeah. And
okay,
if you're but if you're preserving from the season before because you bought so much or you grew so much, now you're using it next year too, and you're using a couple of years worth.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So now you have all of these ingredients. You're going to season the side of the salmon with salt and pepper on both sides. Heat oil in a medium skillet. If you're going to do it inside, add the salmon and sear both sides, 3 to 5 minutes each side. You're going to remove the salmon to a plate. You're going to probably have it medium rare. I like it that way. You want to cook it a little bit more to go to the 5 minute plus side. So in that same pan, you're going to add the shallots. You're going to saute them on low until they're soft for about 4 minutes. And then you're in a small bowl, you're going to dissolve the cornstarch into the vegetable stock. And you're going to add it to the pan, add the jelly and the balsamic, and you're going to cook it till it thickens, and it creates basically a glaze. You get the salmon back in the pan, right? And then it's going to coat both sides and glaze it, but then you're going to remove it right away from the heat. The next step is making our salsa. So now you have this glazed salmon. You're not overcooking it. It's fresh. It's vibrant. In the case you did your salmon on the grill, you're gonna do this glaze in the pan as well, and then from the grill you're gonna take the salmon and then glaze it again. The strawberry salsa is 2 cups of fresh strawberries, 2 tablespoons of chopped red onion, 1.5 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon, or enough that you like, freshly ground black pepper. I got to tell you, the black pepper and the vinegar and the strawberries, that's key right there. You want to need that little balance.
That is a killer combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add a little bit of fresh mint and juice and zest of 1 lime. Mix that all up. Put this on top of that strawberry glazed salmon, and you will tell me that this is one of the best things you've had. It's good for you. It's fresh and vibrant. It's perfect for a lunch or a brunch. You have people coming over, and it's easy, easy, easy to do.
And that strawberry salsa is could be good on so many different items. And you know, once you learn that little technique, like you said, you know, you can, peaches come in, you could do a little something along those lines, you know, with peaches. So once you're learning the techniques, just very, you know, I'm real big on the seasonality of food. I guess maybe I was a picky eater, I don't know, but I think I love the natural variation in sort of what comes and goes with the seasons. And I think a lot of folks do, even though they don't recognize it, because we often talk about, oh, isn't this a great day for a stew, or it's soup weather, or, you know, oh gosh, the now I want to go grill something. So I think we sort of innately, we're still kind of cave people, you know, ready to go congregate around the campfire there and, you know, just enjoy what nature has provided us in a rhythm and in season. And I absolutely love the techniques and this dish. I mean, oh my gosh, I've got a little puddle of drool. I'm glad I'm not on TV because, you know, you're describing cooking that with the salmon and the strawberries. And like you said, most people, their initial reaction is, wait, you're putting pepper on the strawberries? Guys, you got to do it. The vinegar, the pepper, and the strawberry, just try one that way. It's absolutely delicious. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, I have, and this was something I actually created when I was on Food Network on Grocery Games. I had made a watermelon salad, but the watermelon salad was savory. I made a shiitake vinaigrette to go with it, tons of black pepper, cilantro and spinach and the watermelon and salt. And the really cool thing about eating fruit with a little bit of salt or black pepper or spice is it really, the sweetness pops, but you have something to balance it off. And when you're serving it with a savory item, it's so exciting what it does, and your face just lights up. My grandfather used to eat bread and watermelon all the time together, and I never understood why. He liked the salt component of the bread with the watermelon. And
why do for summer, one of my favorites to do when it comes in season is I make a cold watermelon soup, but I serve it with a little mint and feta. Big hunk of feta cheese, and it's got that saltiness that you're talking about on there. And you actually, being kind of a hot pepper fan, I'll maybe roast a little hot pepper, give it a little bit of heat, and it's very interesting because when we look at some of the other cultures, even European cooking, and I came across this in research for my upcoming book, Ancient Eats. But, you know, what we find is that there was a lot more, I want to say, balance and sort of circularity in the food preparation. You know, you would get game meats, but they would be served with, you know, a fruit compote, for example. Asian food, think about sweet and sour chicken. It's only fairly recently, I think, we've kind of evolved to this, oh, it has to be savory first, and then we get our sweet dessert at the end. And, you know, I don't know where that came in. Maybe, you know, with the sort of official kind of restaurant approach to things. But I'm like you, I love the balancing. And I think that can be kind of fun in the kitchen because you don't want it too sweet, but you don't want it too savory. And it changes. If you want a dessert, you want a little on the sweeter side. You know, you're having that watermelon soup for an appetizer. You want a little more on the savory side. And I think same thing with the salsa.
I think what we're finding too is you see how the trends of salted chocolate, salted caramel, about desserts, people probably first looked at it and went, oh, you got to be kidding me. There's no way anyone would eat salt on caramel. Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
I think they got them to do it by candy coating the bacon. You know, you can always lure people in with bacon.
Exactly. But this whole, when you prepare a plate and you hit all of our senses and our smell and, you know, all the flavors on the tongue, that's when you've really excited people about what you're cooking. And we're trying to do that with a simple dish with the salmon and the strawberries. You have the balsamic that's going to bring the acidic component and that bite. You have the strawberries with their natural sweetness. You know, you pop in there with a little black pepper. It's going to give it a boost. And then you have this gorgeous fatty salmon that has been salted and seasoned correctly. And I think if I could teach anybody, and it's so hard to just say, put this much salt or pepper on it. Sometimes people under-season. If you could teach them to season correctly, your food always tastes good. You know, the lemon, lime zest.
And you got to build. And you really do have to build that little bit of layer. You know, you can't save all the salting till the end. So you season a little bit as you cook, and as that a protein or carbohydrate or whatever it is cooking, that salt is acting in there and kind of building a little flavor layer. And then you add a couple more ingredients you want to kind of gently season again. What you don't want to do, folks, is try to just season all at the end, because it'll either come out, as you point out, under seasoned, and it'll have this kind of very bland, unsatisfying taste, or it'll be way too salty to even consume. So, like you said, a little bit at a time.
Well, you know what's funny? It's when you salt, when you taste, at the point where you taste salt in a dish, you know you messed up. All you really should be tasting
exactly
is the other components. You taste flavor, and that's what it's about. My mother showed me something a long time ago, and I've always loved this, is what salt does to things. It pulls out moisture, too. We put it on tomatoes to grill. Right. It pulls out the moisture. It heightens the flavor of the tomato, and that's what you want to try and do. My mother, when she sautés ground beef, she never puts oil in the pan. She throws salt in the bottom of a hot pan, puts the ground beef in, especially if it's something with a higher amount of fat. The first time she did it, I was younger, and I was like, "Mom, what are you doing? You're gonna burn the, you know, it's just what happens?
You're gonna ruin your pan, Mom."
Yeah, the salt starts, you know, pulling moisture, in this case, the fat, out of the beef, and as it slowly cooks, you see this layer of fat on the bottom. And I was like, "Wow, this is pretty intense." She didn't add any fat to this dish. She just sautéed the ground beef, and then that was the start of, you know, she then added that to the vegetables, which are, or mirepoix, which ended up being our bolognese and things like that. So these practices aren't new by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
My mother was never this professional chef, although best food in the world I ever had was hers. But at the same time, that got passed down through generations and generations of her family. That said, okay, this is the way we prepare food. We don't want all the fat in there. And even if it's, you know, a locally raised animal, it's still going to be a little bit fatty. So I'm taking it out, but I'm still keeping flavor in, and I'm salting. And actually, when you eat that ground beef, it's already flavored. You know, it's right there, instead of just putting raw beef with oil and then not seasoning. So it's incredible, these little things that we find out over time.
And I was going to say, you know, folks, you know, get off on the wrong track, you know, about fat, and the whole fact of fat is fat doesn't make you fat.
Nope.
And it's these refined foods, particularly the refined carbohydrates and things that we're finding are really causing the problem. So cooking with those natural animal fats, not a bad thing. Don't worry about it, folks. But you want to know, and to kind of bring this full circle again, how was that animal raised? Because both the type and the quantity of those fats, as you pointed out very elegantly earlier, it kind of comes full circle. So it depends how they're raised. Were they stressed? Were they not? Were artificial hormones things added? Were they fed a natural diet? Did the salmon grow up eating what salmon like to grow up and eat? You know, that sort of stuff. So important. But, you know, we get sort of very clinical about it and say, oh, you know, you can't have fat. Folks, and I guess I'm going to have to probably write another column just on that. But, you know, the fact is that these naturally occurring fats, what we actually find, eggs are a great example. People who eat more eggs, studies actually shown their cholesterol and blood lipid profiles tend to actually be better than people who don't, but are eating the modern Western diet. So important to source all these ingredients. And one of the things I want to hit real quick that you mentioned is the organic strawberries, for example, that we'll use in this recipe, higher levels of those antioxidants, and you can tell by the color. So when something's organic and it has that deep, rich color, it's going to be richer in those antioxidants. It's also going to taste better.
And that's the key to eating healthy, is food that tastes good. If it's
right,
if you're buying
so
something
often,
I look at it all the time.
You know, it's not good.
Yeah, and I watch people eat this food, some food that they're buying off the shelf, going, well, it's good for me. If it doesn't taste good, man, it can't be good for you. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm telling you, life is too short for crummy food and cheap wine. Hey, folks, you want to make sure that you check out my good buddy Luca Paris on lucaparis.com. Go follow him on Facebook. And Luca, thanks once again for bringing the A-game to the menu for this episode of Culinary CPR.